Now, last week I mentioned the theme I'll be using for my sermons this Advent season. I'll be preaching the biblical message that's found in some of our familiar Christmas hymns. Now, I'll admit this for me seems like a very unconventional approach for preaching sermons, but I do think that this will give us an opportunity to discern just how biblical some of the things that we call Christian actually are. Now, I don't think it's wise to get our theology from Christian music, but some of these songs do indeed include wonderful biblical truths that are packed into them. Now, honestly, I didn't think I'd be using this particular hymn that I'll be preaching on today. If you remember from last week's sermon, I mentioned how the song We Three Kings of Orient Are has maybe some questionable details. I believe there were likely more than three of them, and the Bible never refers to them as kings, but as magi or wise men. And because of some of these suspect details, I tend to ignore this Christmas carol, thinking it's just another example of poor interpretation of Scripture in our hymns and songs. But you know, after I read the rest of the words here, I recognized some very interesting and very symbolic biblical truths in the verses of this hymn. We all know the story of these magi who came to visit Jesus, that they traveled far from the east. But just as we find with the title of this song, there is much confusion among many Christians as we recall this story. Again, it's quite likely that there were more than three of them who came bearing gifts to Jesus that night. But it's also very probable that they came to Jesus well after the day of his birth. They didn't find him lying in a manger. He wasn't in a stable or a cave surrounded by shepherds. But Matthew tells us they saw the child with his mother after going into the house. Well, they had followed the star possibly for months, taking this long journey from the country in the east that they are from. And what about the star that is in this passage here, leading them to the child? What kind of star rises and leads someone until coming to rest at the intended destination? Well, before I get too far, let me just read the passage from Matthew 2 that gives the account which our hymn is referring back to. Again, this is Matthew chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is God's holy word. Now, if these kings of Orient were not actually kings, then who were they? Well, Matthew calls them magi, often translated from the Greek They translate it as wise men in most Bibles. The ancient Greek historian Herodotus referred to the Magi as astronomer priests, that they were generally from the tribe of the Medes, and they were known to interpret dreams and practice magic, as the name implies. Now, it seems that these Magi are similar to the wise men who were in Nebuchadnezzar's court, those who brought to the those who were brought to the king to interpret his dreams. Daniel 4:7 says that the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans and astrologers came in, but they could not interpret the king's dream. Only Daniel was given that ability. And Daniel was soon made chief of this group of wise men by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you know your Bible history, you may remember that the Medes and Persians came in and defeated Babylon, and they gained control of those exiled Jews. And Daniel actually served as an advisor under Darius the Mede after Babylon's fall. Now, I say all this because as we consider the history of Daniel's influence there in the courts of the Medes and Persians, it's very possible that these Magi in Matthew 2 would have had access to Daniel's writings. They would have had access to some of his prophecies, including those that mention a coming Christ, who would be a king of the Jews. Now, this hymn says that these men were kings of the Orient. They came from the East. Now, this also aligns with the assumption that the Magi came from the land of Persia, or modern-day Iran, which is east of Judea. So it should be safe to say that these men indeed traveled from afar, that they came through field and fountain, moor and mountain, which is simply to say they trekked through various regions and diverse terrain. But how they found their way to Jerusalem and eventually to Bethlehem is an even more interesting part of this story. These Magi were following yonder star, westward leading. In Matthew's account, the Magi said that they saw his star when it rose, or saw his star in the east, and it led them to Jerusalem. Now, some people have tried to explain the occurrence of this heavenly phenomenon that they saw, this Christmas star, saying that, well, perhaps it was a supernova, or the aligning of planets in the sky, or even a comet. But none of this explains how the star went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. It should be fairly obvious that God allowed this supernatural star, some sort of bright light, to go before them and lead the way to Jesus. Now, this would not have been the first time God's people were led by a glorious light. In their wilderness wanderings, the Israelites were led by God. Exodus 13 says, "The Lord went before them by day in pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light." So perhaps this star was none other than God's glory going before them, shining forth the way to lead the people to where God wanted them to go. Now, like the chief priests and scribes, these Magi had likely studied prophecies about a coming king. But unlike those Jewish religious authorities, these wise men, these foreigners, ventured to make the trek to Bethlehem in order to worship the one who was born king of the Jews. Now, the next few verses of our hymn give reference to the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. These gifts were very expensive. They would have been very valuable to this child's young parents. But the song brings forth the symbolism of those gifts. Now, the first treasure gift that was brought to Jesus was gold. Gold is an appropriate gift for a king. It has always been a precious and valuable metal and commonly portrayed as a symbol of royalty and wealth. Much of a king's wealth was measured by the gold that he had possessed. One of the richest men in history, King Solomon, had gold overlaid all throughout his temple, and much of the temple furnishings were made of gold as well. So this was obviously an appropriate gift for the one of whom they said would be born a king of the Jews. And just like David, the hymn reminds us Jesus was born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Now this was right where the prophet Micah told the people where their ruler would come from. The one who will shepherd my people Israel. Now again, the chief priests and scribes knew that this was true. They told this to Herod. But they missed their chance to go seek him and go worship this king. Now we see that this child was no ordinary king, and surely the wise men knew this. The hymn says, King forever, ceasing never. The King of Kings would have a rule that would never end. As I said last week, God told David that a king would come after him, one which God would raise up. And through this king, David's throne shall be established forever. Even our prophet Daniel had interpreted a dream in which a stone had struck the image of a man. This image represented the great kingdoms of the world. And this stone became a great mountain that filled the earth. And then Daniel interpreted this great stone to be a kingdom that God would set up. He said, "It shall never be destroyed. It shall break into pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." So again, Jesus has been given dominion and authority, and his rule will never end. He shall reign eternally in God's kingdom. Now the gift that's mentioned in the next verse is the frankincense that they brought Jesus. Now this is an expensive incense, and it was commonly mixed with the grain offering that was brought to the Levitical priest. Leviticus 2:2 says, "A priest shall take from the offering a handful of fine flour and oil with all of its frankincense, and the priest shall burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord." So the burning of incense was to be carried out by the priests for the people. So this shows that frankincense is associated with our worship. The hymn writer proclaims, "Prayer and praising, all men raising." And the Bible definitely speaks of our prayers as going up before the Lord as incense. Revelation 8:4 says, "An angel was before the golden altar in the presence of God, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand." So again, frankincense is a gift that is symbolic of our worship of the one true God. It points to Jesus' deity. Worship him, God on high. And that brings us to some very unexpected responses that we see in Matthew's account of the people who were in Jerusalem that day. We have King Herod, who heard the news of this recently born king of the Jews. He inquired as to where this Christ would be born, but Herod was very troubled. Well, he falsely proclaimed that he wanted to go and worship the child, and yet his plans were much more devious. Herod wanted to kill this potential threat to his kingdom. As I said previously, the chief priests and scribes knew all the prophetic details of where the Messiah would be born, but they were indifferent. They didn't travel the 6 miles to Bethlehem to go and search for this newborn king. Even the common residents of Jerusalem were troubled upon hearing this news of a young king. The Jews had been anticipating their long-awaited Messiah, but they missed their chance to humble themselves and to worship him. Just like those Israelites in the desert, it seems they were stiff-necked, that they were self-centered. They preferred what was familiar to them rather than God's purpose for them. And yet here in Matthew 2, we see these pagan astronomers who sacrificed much. They traveled a great distance. They offered very valuable treasures. They bowed down before a small child. An incredible act of humility, because they sensed that God was at work in all this. This is an amazing and unwavering response by these men who, in all appearance, would have been the least likely ones to go worship Jesus that night. Well, now we come to the final gift presented to Jesus. Our hymn calls myrrh the bitter perfume. The oil of myrrh is mentioned several times throughout the Bible as a fragrant perfume. It gave a pleasing aroma for the lovers of Song of Solomon. Esther was given 6 months of preparing herself with myrrh and 6 months with other perfumes before going before the king. Like the other two gifts, myrrh is a very costly item that the Magi brought to Jesus. But myrrh pointed to something more sorrowful than those other two items. This gift foreshadows Christ's death. What does the hymn say? Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. As I said last week, Jesus came not only to be born as a man, but he came to die. Isaiah 53 says, he came as one who is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we are shown throughout the Gospels, Jesus truly lived a life of gathering gloom. He told his disciples more than once that he was to go to Jerusalem. He would suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and scribes. Then he would be killed. Now on the third day he would be raised. As John the Baptist predicted, Jesus would offer himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He came to give his life as the perfect sacrifice. You see, myrrh is more than just a perfume. It was used as an anesthetic. It was used as a substance also to cover the odor of a corpse. When Jesus was about to be nailed to the cross, he was offered a mixture of wine and myrrh so that he could have his pain relieved and it would help keep him from struggling, but he refused that drink. And then after Jesus' death, we see Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to lay his body in a tomb, wrap the body in linen cloths, and then they covered the body with a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Now, did the Magi fully comprehend the symbolism in this myrrh, that Jesus came to suffer as a sacrifice for our sins? Probably not. But it seems that God in his providence led these men to bring their gifts, all three of which carry profound symbolic meaning, as Jesus is our King and God and sacrifice. Now the last verse of our hymn points to another event, which was well past Jesus' childhood, and that was his resurrection. Glorious now, behold him arise. The Magi came to worship the one who was born King of the Jews. But they likely saw him merely as an earthly king, just like everyone else in Jesus' day. Could they comprehend that Jesus would one day rise from the dead? It seems that no one else was able to fathom that mystery. In fact, Jesus had to explain to his disciples that the scriptures foretold all those events. He said that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So again, Jesus came to die, as we see implied by the myrrh, but this was not the end of his story. The prophet Daniel had been given a vision of one like a son of man presented before the Ancient of Days. He said he would be given dominion so that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is only true if Jesus is risen and alive right now. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, but it's in heaven, and he will reign on his throne forever. Now, perhaps the Magi did not foresee the resurrection, But those of us who are Christian know this to be a true historical event. And like the writer of this hymn, we should glorify God. We should praise Him, knowing that Jesus has conquered the grave, that He has ascended to heaven and made a way for us to receive eternal life. Our hope is in the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy of our worship. Now, it's true, one of the main themes of Christmas is that God took on flesh, that He came in the form of a man, but much more than this. Paul says in Philippians 1, He made Himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So can I just say that this hymn is not about three kings. The song emphasizes the worship of the one true King. Again, the song may have a few faulty details about the Magi, but its message about Jesus is true. Jesus was the one that the Magi came to worship, and He deserves our worship as well, as our King, our God, and our sacrifice. And these Magi proved to be worthy of their title, wise men. They humbled themselves before the Lord. They sacrificed much, going to a distant land, bringing Jesus very valuable gifts. The rest of the inhabitants of Jerusalem in Matthew's passage were not wise. They proved themselves to be fools. Herod hated the thought that there was another who would be born king of the Jews, and so he sought to kill him. The chief priests and scribes were indifferent to the Magi's message. Perhaps they were too preoccupied with their religious functions to seek after this child who was a mere 6 miles away. And then all Jerusalem was troubled upon hearing news of this king. They were possibly afraid of what Herod might end up doing to this new king. So it seems that no one in Jerusalem wanted to greet the Christ child that night. In Matthew's account, it was only those pagan magicians who came and proved themselves to be true worshipers. This is a rebuke to those Jews who had been looking for their Messiah. So this should be a lesson to us. Are we willing to humble ourselves before Christ? He deserves our worship. Are we willing to give our lives to Him, to sacrifice? Let us not prove ourselves to be too afraid, too indifferent, or preoccupied that we miss out on true worship. Jesus is our King. He is our God. And He is the sacrifice for our sins. And to this we should say, Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for sending Your Son to this world. He was more than just a baby in a manger, but He is the hope for all who dwell on this earth. We have no true life apart from You, Christ, Lord Jesus, but help us to remember these things as we celebrate You this year. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to lose focus and worry about all the things in this world and worry about buying gifts and doing the right things this year. But God, help us to make sure that our first priority is that we worship You, glorify You, bring You praise and honor and glory. just like those magi who came before you and humbled themselves. They weren't afraid to go several hundred miles to see you, going through violent and uncertain territories. They knew that one had come who was born a king. Let us not forget this, Lord, that we are here to worship you each and every day of our lives. Amen.